Well, good morning and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Beautiful autumn morning out there. A little chilly, but beautiful. And I love that song we just sang, God Bless America. Amen. How can it not make you grow in your love for Jesus? And that's what our message is going to be about this morning. Growing in your love for Jesus. And we'll be looking at many different verses, Revelation 2:4, but I wanted to share this with you. There is a very familiar sentence that kids often use and parents detest. What? Now, what is that? What do you say? I am bored. Now, parents, I'm not going to get into this, but let me give you a freebie on the house. Have a list of chores ready for them. So as soon as they say, I'm bored, you say, here you go. And we had five children, so we had a lot of lists of chores for them to do. I used to get my grass cut, not anymore. And that keeps them busy, and that should remove boredom. But the truth is, children are not the only ones who experience boredom in life. Adults get bored too. The thing about children is because they are more innocent and less guarded, they blurt it out. They verbalize it and they articulate it. Adults, on the other hand, they seem to mask their boredom. Adults often express their boredom by moving from one thing to another, from one interest to another. That's how adults deal with their boredom, by seeking new and exciting experiences. So please believe me when I tell you that there are Christians who actually get bored with their Christian life. And I have seen this through the years. And the way they express their boredom, by changing churches every couple years, they hop from seminar to conference to some new exciting ministry. And in Ephesians it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. They keep going around and hopping from one Christian guru to another. And they are looking for the latest trend and the latest book and the latest person who's going to help them solve their problems. So, my friends, hear me right, please. And they don't understand that books and preachers and teachers and seminars and conferences, helpful as they are, none of them can solve the problems. And there's only one cure to spiritual boredom, and it is growing in your love for Jesus Christ every single day. And when I was reading and studying the first letter to the church in Ephesus, I noticed there's one thing, or there were many things, that it was an active church. It was a great church. But the one thing that Jesus had against them, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Their first love for Jesus, it had cooled off, whatever the circumstances may be. But as you read, you find that their spiritual vitality, springing from love for Jesus, had degenerated. And they went into a routine orthodox practice. They weren't setting their mind on things above. They were setting their things too much on the earth, on things on the earth, Colossians 3:2. And they were doing, they were serving, they were ministering, they were active, they were doing all the right things. But the one thing that they were supposed to do, their love for Jesus went by the wayside in their walk and in their life. Because in the Christian life, my friends, you either go backward or you go forward. You can't stand still in the Christian life. And that is why we're going to learn together in this message this morning to go forward in your love with Jesus and not just stay in love with Jesus, but grow in your love for Jesus Christ. How to daily discover ways by which you fall in love with Jesus all over again. How to become on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, it is an established fact that in your growing in your love for Jesus, it's not only going to sustain you regardless of the circumstances, but it's going to make you effective wherever you go. And some of you may say, well, Eric, you know, wait a minute here. I love Jesus. I read the Bible regularly. I have decent knowledge of the scriptures. I'm a stickler for accurate doctrine. I even memorize the scripture. So I say, wonderful. Keep it up. Don't stop. Keep that going. Don't stop. The problem with the church in Ephesus, it was a church that was doing all of that. And here Jesus says, I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. My friends, they lost their love. They cooled off their love for Jesus. And others may say, well, you know, you don't understand. I'm into the deeper life. I'm into the exchange life. I'm into the victorious life. I'm into the upward call. I'm into the higher goal. Great, wonderful. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, these are names of ministries that have come and gone. And some of them are still around today. Hear me out, please. Head knowledge of the Bible must not be our ultimate goal. Healing your past memories of past troubles should not be your ultimate goal, because that's the product. So the question is this: how do I love Jesus today more deeply than yesterday? How do I love Jesus more fully today than yesterday? How do I love Jesus more uniquely today than yesterday? Why should that be my ultimate goal? Why should it be the ultimate goal for everyone? Not just for people in ministry. It should be the ultimate goal for everyone to love Jesus more and more deeply every single day. So listen carefully, because when you're daily growing in your love for Jesus, all these other things are going to fit into place. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. They will fit into place, but not the other way around. The verse I want you to drink deeply from, not just today, but in the coming days. It literally is a verse that will change your life. Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. The truth is, you can literally take the rest of your life and unpack this verse, this one verse. And why? Because until you're able to say, I regard everything, my job, my money, my possessions, even my life. Beloved, your day of death is appointed in heaven. And you cannot change that. You can't change it. Your worry and your anxiety will not change that. It is appointed at once, my friends. It's appointed. You can't change it. It's a day written in heaven. And until you get to the depth of understanding that when you've got everything, including life itself, you have not begun your love for Jesus. If you place everything on one side of the scale, including life, and loving Jesus on the other side of the scale, find out which one that tips and which one is going to tip over the other. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Until you come to that point, you have not begun to know what it means to absolutely be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you to do something right now. All of us, please, let's do this together. Let's close our eyes just for a few seconds. Just close your eyes. I'm going to do it with you. Just for a minute. And ask yourself the question, what is the one thing that I value the most, including life itself? Open your eyes. So that answer is yours. It's between you and the Lord, and nobody else needs to know that. But I'm here to confess to you, my friends, that in my own life, I haven't always said or practiced that everything is nothing, is rubbish, in relationship to my love for Jesus. It wasn't always the case. Now, some of us who are in ministry, please listen to me, please. Whether preaching or teaching or serving in any ministry. And many of you in this congregation are involved in some ministry. And I thank God, this is an amazing church. It's an amazing place. Praise God. And we are humbled. And just praise God for that. But whatever ministry you are involved in, here is what I want to warn you of. So please listen carefully. We all, including me, we are all vulnerable to the temptation of confusing ministry with loving Jesus. And I am convinced, as I am standing before you today, that God cares more about his children loving him than what they're doing for him. You see, when you love him, you're going to do everything that he wants you to do. You see, when I compare loving Jesus every day more deeply than the day before, more than anything, I find that helps me to think in the following way: how permanent he is and how temporary everything else is. I want to stop here for a moment. Because I think there are times when hard things are said and made to sound like they're easy to do. But if you think that you are the only one who's tempted to place other things or other people above your loving for Jesus, think again, because you're not the only one. And beloved, it is not a walk in the park. I am nowhere near saying this is easy. And if you think that I'm saying this is easy, you know, that it's a walk in the park, you have seriously misunderstood me. The deeper I grow in my love for Jesus, the harder the temptation for distraction. Now, you would think the other way around, right? You think the other way around? No. I used to think that. I really did. You know, I thought the deeper I walk in my love for Jesus, the easier the temptation. No, it's not. The deeper I grow in my love for Jesus, the harder the temptation. It doesn't get easier. Satan is working to take that real estate, that inner mind in the heavenly realms. He wants you. And so there's this clash against good and evil. And the temptations get harder, harder and harder. The question becomes, how do I overcome these temptations? How do I overcome these temptations? How do I regularly choose to love Jesus every day more than the day before? Well, first, I need to tell you that you cannot grow in your love for Jesus simply by amassing head information about Jesus. You cannot grow in your love for Jesus by seeking one new spiritual experience after another. You cannot grow in your love for Jesus by merely hearing sermons or reading books about Jesus. It's not the way, my friends. And believe it or not, loving Jesus begins by being dissatisfied with your current state of love for Jesus. And that is where it begins. If you're smug and satisfied where you are, God help you. Because nobody else can. Loving and growing in love with Jesus begins by your yearning to know and experience and love him more than anything in life. Paul's deepest loving and prayer for the church in Ephesus, the same church that motivated me to do this message, and he writes to them in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. And this somewhat piggybacks off of the communion message that was done last week and Steve's message. His prayer is that they will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't it amazing that 20 to 30 years later, that same church that Paul was praying for, he's praying for them, that they will comprehend the love of Christ. Because, you see, my friends, when you comprehend the love of Christ, you love him back. The same church, that same church, 30-some years later, right? They get a letter from Jesus saying to them, I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Because they took their eyes off of Jesus. They took their eyes off of the love of Jesus. Until you come to the point of stop bragging about your biblical knowledge and cry out to him and say, Lord, my love for you is so pathetic. Lord, my personal knowledge of you is so superficial. Lord, my apprehension of your person is so shallow. Lord, my time with you is so one-sided. Lord, my desire for you is just to give me what I'm asking for. Lord, my encounters with you are limited to when I need you. Lord, I have not loved you anywhere near how you have loved me. That's where it begins, my friends. A holy dissatisfaction within. Until you come to that point of dissatisfaction with your current condition and your growing love for Jesus, you have not begun. And that is the good news. You have the chance to start today. A new clean slate today. And remember this when we take communion today. Go before God. Be contrite in spirit. Clean the slate before him. Start today. If you look intently and carefully into our precious Lord's earthly life ministry, you're going to discover that he always longs to nourish our mind with his truth. That he always longs to open our hearts to his love. He always longs for us to surrender our will to his purpose. He longs to allow his holiness to challenge the way we conduct our lives. He said, be holy for I am holy. Until you come to that point, that holy dissatisfaction, you will continue in your spiritual boredom, and nothing will cure that spiritual boredom. Not activities, not activism, not books, not sermons, not teaching, not gratifying of the flesh and doing what you want to do. In fact, all of that in the long run exacerbated your spiritual boredom. Why? Because our deepest longing can only be satisfied with deeper love for the Lord. And having done that, then begin to love him with greater intensity every day. Think about this with me as I'm coming toward the end of this message. I want you to think about this. I think many of you have read this and know this. God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldeans to Canaan. And God said to him, leave everything behind. Everything. And I'm going to take you into an uncertain future. That's what he was doing. And what I don't want you to forget is this. Abraham, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a Bible study to go to. He did not have a pastor. He did not have Christian friends. He didn't have 2,000 years of Christian history. And Abraham died 2,000 years before Christ. And yet God privileged him to see the day of Christ prophetically and supernaturally. In fact, I think Abraham, as you read, you read the history, it's really something. In fact, I think Abraham, he didn't even know a great deal about God because his ancestors, the people that he lived with, they were idol worshipers. And yet he trusted God. He trusted him when he said, leave everything. Come to an unknown future. He trusted him, and that is the beginning of your love for Jesus Christ. Trusting him and not in one area of your life or two areas of your life, in every area of your life. And then he kept on growing in his love for God. So the question is, my friends, are you willing to give up everything for the Lord? I didn't say, are you ready? Are you willing? I read the other day, an old pastor once said, are you willing to be made willing?
Amen.
Abraham was willing. When he acted on that willingness to sacrifice Isaac, the son of promise, and God gave Isaac to Abraham. The Lord didn't want, and he didn't want him back. And God wanted to see his willingness. He wanted to see if he was willing to do this. So I ask you, are you willing? And don't ever forget that God has given you everything that you have in your life. Everything you have. Everything. He's giving you everything. You can't deny that. Do something again with me, please. Take a deep breath with me. Do it. Let's do it together. I hope you did that this morning outside because the air was nice and fresh. That is a gift from God. He just gave every one of us, including the breath we have, it is a gift from God. So, friends, as I finally close out this message, Abraham's obedience came out of love for God. Abraham trusted God completely, and God blessed Abraham tremendously. Oh, unbelievable. I don't know what God is asking you to be willing to surrender. That is between you and God. But I do know this. The Christian life cannot stand still. Boredom is unacceptable. Growth requires change. And a lot of people don't like to change, but if you go on to grow, it's going to require change. We must go forward in our love for Jesus. We must daily discover our love for Jesus. And this will make us more effective for the kingdom of God. And let us not forget what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you, our great mighty God. We humbly ask, Lord, Increase our capacity to love until we love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and long for your presence more than anything else in this world. That we would have an overflowing of love for people that cross our path. Help us to love the way you love, Lord, and the way you call us to love. Please renew our hearts, Lord, and minds so that we can grasp it and grow in it, Lord, and be filled with all of your fullness, that we may bear the fruit of love in your glorious kingdom. And we ask this in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we will now show each other the sign of peace, which I ask. Think about this message. Think about how you can show that sign of peace with love and sincerity. And then we will have a communion message given to us by our beloved Pastor James.